Let's now turn to Anne-Marie O'Connor, who writes for The Washington Post from Mexico City, where her husband, William Booth, is the Washington Post bureau chief. Previously, she was a foreign correspondent for Reuters and a staff writer for The Los Angeles Times for 12 years. She's the author of the new book, The Lady in Gold, The Extraordinary Tale of Gustav Klimt's Masterpiece Portrait of Adele Bloch-Bauer. Welcome to Background Briefing, Anne-Marie O'Connor.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Anne-Marie, recently you wrote a profile in the Washington Post on the PRD candidate López Obrador. Obviously, there's a lot of people in Mexico and supporters here in the United States, particularly at this radio station, who are really hoping that he gets elected. It feels a little bit like tilting at windmills, right, given the power of the control of the media that the PRI have with, you know, they've overspent their campaign by $330 million in terms of the funds, and apparently they've been secretly buying favorable coverage from Mexico's television giant Televisa. So what's your reading on the locals, on the conditions now in terms of the likely outcome of this vote?
Well, obviously, López Obrador, it remains extremely popular. He came within a sliver of a percentage of winning in 2006. He tried fraud when he didn't win. At this point, Peña Nieto, the candidate of the former ruling party, the Institutional Revolutionary Party, with the soap opera good looks and the soap opera star wife, has a double-digit lead and has maintained that now for some time. Now, there's a very large percentage of undecided voters and supporters of López Obrador are hoping that there might be a last-minute upset. And when we start getting poll results in, we will see if he has managed to increase his support in the vote.
Well, it's the we spoke earlier with the Yoso 132 representative who emceed the big silent protest in the Zocalo last night. What kind of influence are they having on the political center, if that's the right description? They have alternative media, the internet, but I understand internet penetration in Mexico is about 30%. Largely with the middle class, and this feels a bit like a middle class student movement, Yoso 132. I don't think it's fair to compare it to the Arab Spring, which was a much more diverse movement.
Well, the Yoso 132 movement is being handicapped quite a bit by the types of social inequities that they are protesting. There's a very, very small number of, only several million young Mexicans are actually in higher education of some kind. There's not enough of them to make a widespread movement out of a university movement, and the movement hasn't spread out of the universities yet. So it is not the kind of widespread movement that you're seeing in Chile, where there are many students in universities, or in the Middle East, where it has spread throughout the society. It's really not fair to compare them to that. However, they have succeeded in putting a number of very important issues on the table in Mexico, such as the monopolies on media that they are now complaining about, Televisa and Tele Azteca's sort of hold on the political debate. They accuse the Televisa of supporting Peña Nieto, and they charge that Televisa's journalism has a hidden agenda that actually makes it a bit of electoral propaganda in his favor. So they are trying to get many of these issues on the table for that could have an impact in future elections. But at this point, many analysts say they actually have not influenced the polls.
Well, of course, there is a history of the PRI, who look like they're making a comeback, stealing elections. In 1988, they stole the presidential election. Cárdenas was ahead in the count, and then the PRI cut off the power and stopped the count. And then when the power came back on, suddenly the count changed, and the PRI won, and Salinas became the president. And then 6 years later, in 1994, Cárdenas ran again. This time, in many ways, his presidential hopes were scuttled by the Zapatistas, who basically humiliated him and and called him a kind of a weakling, and Subcomandante Marcos became a hero, overshadowing him, the Zapatista leader, who apparently Oliver Stone can hang out with him, but somehow the Mexican authorities can't arrest him. The long and the short of it is that they have every reason to be bitter. Last time around, López Obrador felt that he won, and it was stolen again. And then he mounted a kind of sit-in in response to it. What's your understanding about him? Because he didn't do that well in the debates, which would have been a good chance to have put his best face forward. What's his problem with winning the elections but not being able to win over the people?
Well, one of the problems in general in the presidential elections has been Peña Nieto's capability of looking presidential. He doesn't say much, and people don't really know where he stands on many issues, but people think he looks presidential on television. He has that kind of rare telegenic quality for many people. Josefina Vázquez Mota, of course, is running against her party's record, which is Calderón's drug war. And more than 50,000 people have died since 2007, by some counts, 57,000. But however you count it, it's been a very, very violent presidential time. 47 journalists have disappeared or been murdered. Now, with López Obrador, what seems to be holding him back, according to his own supporters, is his baggage. His baggage from when he was declared the loser, he believes by fraud, in 2006. And his supporters took to the streets and shut down the main artery in Mexico City, Avenida La Reforma, for weeks and weeks with protests. Many people get fired from their jobs in the hotels along La Reforma and in bars. It was a very unpopular demonstration. And to many people, that hurt his chances now. He didn't look as if he had the maturity to govern. However, there's a question about why he hasn't done better in a Latin America that has been very successfully governed by the left in recent decades. Lula lifted millions of people out of poverty in Brazil. There have been left-of-center leaders elected all over Latin America, and they have gotten very high marks in governance and in addressing the long-standing social issues that hold Latin America back. So many people asked why he didn't do better in this last election.
And what conclusions did you come to from profiling him, Anne-Marie O'Connor?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of speculation here. One thing that people say is that if the very popular Mexico City mayor from the same party, from the Democratic Revolutionary Party, Marcelo Ebrard, had run, he would have won as president because Mexico City has been very successfully governed by the Democratic Revolutionary Party for many years now, including by López Obrador, who received, when he was mayor here, 84% approval ratings. It may be true what some analysts say, including in his own party, that the way he handled the refusal to acknowledge him as president the last time he ran, he believed by fraud, he lost by such a tiny percent, that may be holding him back now.
Well, just in closing, Anne-Marie O'Connor, your previous guest, George Grayson, suggested that we talked about the war on drugs or the failed war on drugs that cost Mexico 60,000 lives. He suggested that the real problem is at the gubernatorial level, and there are quite a number of pre-governors in the state, and that's where the real corruption is. Is that your understanding? That, in other words, it may, you know, the U.S. will probably weigh in with the pre-president about the war on drugs, but he may not be the real guy to talk with.
Well, you know, a lot of people talk about the pre-structure having remained intact in Mexico. And many analysts say that if that's true, where the pre has remained intact is in the provincial areas where they hold the governorships and many of the posts outside of the Capitol. Now, within the Capitol itself, and within this area, a lot of the pre-dinosaurs have switched parties. So they're now in the PON or in the PRD, or they've gone where the action is. How much influence this has had on the current election is hard to say, because the PRI has now been out of power for many years.
Well, they still seem to have the kind of rural network that they had, that they've kept intact. They may not be popular with the students, but as you pointed out, there aren't enough students going into higher education, which in itself shows the problem in Mexico. The long and the short of it is that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer in that country. And you have one of the richest men in the world, a Mexican, Carlos Slim Alou. So I'm just astounded that the elite in that country could be comfortable with this situation, that they clearly...
Well, that is what the Yo Soy 132 student movement says, that governments have come and gone without touching many of the very intact monopolies and power structures that have to be changed for Mexico to truly democratize.
So that's the real message here. And do you think that message is going to resonate past the election, that maybe the student movement is the beginning of a broader movement?
Well, that is what people are waiting to see, because the problems that they are pointing out remain in their eyes. They are drawing up a broader agenda that they say that they will hand to the president-elect in December. If they maintain this movement to draw attention to these issues, there may be more pressure to change in Mexico.
So do you think that there's any way that this could be achieved? I mean, how do you... we in America seem in many ways heading towards oligarchical rule too. I guess I'm asking you a very it's a difficult question here. How does democracy reverse oligarchy?
Well, I think it's a question that's being asked now all over the world. Look at the Occupy movement. Look at the movements in the Middle East. People are watching television and demanding a broader democratization. They're seeing freedoms in other countries or in other places, or freedom of speech in the media, and they are demanding their own voice. And I think this is a worldwide trend. And at the same time, there does seem to be entrenched power. Probably there always has been. I think people are just more aware of it now.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us from Mexico City, Anne-Marie O'Connor.
Well, thank you so much for having me in.
Again, I've been speaking with Anne-Marie O'Connor, who writes for The Washington Post from Mexico City, where her husband, William Booth, is the Washington Post bureau chief. Previously, she was a foreign correspondent for Reuters and a staff writer for the Los Angeles Times for 12 years. She's the author of the new book, The Lady in Gold, The Extraordinary Tale of Gustav Klimt's Masterpiece Portrait, Adele Bloch-Bauer. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing throughout the week, Monday through Thursday. Join me. Bye for now. Disappeared by heaven.